Okay, testing. Okay, good. Good afternoon, everyone. And to you online, either YouTube or live, good afternoon to you.
So let's open our Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 39 through 49. It's on the screen, and it's in your bulletin. However, definitely have your own Bible, paper Bible, or Bible app on or open. okay, so, yeah, let's go ahead and read from verse 39 to 49. And I'll go ahead and start at 39. Please join me at verse 44. So let me begin. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Let's read together. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." The very word of God. Amen. Yeah. Well, I say this every time, but I really mean it today. Great songs for worship today. And the song that we sung called the Magnificat, we just sang it, you know, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God." So in the Latin translation of that song, verse 46. So the Latin translation of that song, "My soul glorifies the Lord," the word "glorify" in Latin is "magnificat." My soul magnifies, glorifies the Lord. So that's why the name of the song which Mary sings, it's called the Magnificat. It is a song about the birth of Jesus. And so it's a Christmas song. And, you know, if you go to YouTube and you enter into the search, Christmas songs, there are hundreds of songs about Christmas. Old songs, new songs, and every year, there's new songs, new artists, new versions. There is the classical versions, the rhythm and blues version, the jazz version, the pop version, the rock and roll Christmas songs, the reggae Christmas songs, the Christian Christmas songs, the non-Christian Christmas songs. Hundreds of Christmas songs. And you just play them on YouTube, And there you go for one whole month. But for the next 3 weeks, we have three more weeks in the Advent season, I want to meditate on the number one Christmas song, this Christmas song. This is literally the number one Christmas song because it is the first Christmas song ever. And yeah, it's the one that God wrote. It's the one that the mother of God wrote. So it's the number one Christmas song. So I was studying this and I thought, well, I could do this song. We could study this for, I could do a 60-minute sermon on this one song, or I can do three sermons for 20 minutes each. So which do you prefer? I know I prefer a certain one. So I want to study this song for 3 weeks, and actually we'll only get to the beginning of the song because the setup or the story of the song is amazing. And I want to meditate on that. So this song or the situation comes from verse 39, and that's when Mary goes to visit her relative, Elizabeth. So what's the story there? Okay, so you know the Christmas story, probably everyone. Mary, anywhere from the age of 12 to 15, junior high school girl, she is engaged to marry Joseph. She's still not technically married, but engaged, so she's a virgin. And a messenger of God, the name Gabriel, comes to her. This is in Luke chapter 1. It says, Mary, you're blessed, you're favored. God, the Holy Spirit, will overshadow you. And you will have a baby in your womb. And he will be called the Son of God. And how does Mary respond? Me? Are you sure? How do I know? And Gabriel explains some more. And Mary's response, if you have your Bible open, you can see in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 38, Mary's answer to the angel, you know, is, well, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. There's not a lot of joy in that verse, verse 38. You know? Well, わかりました. Hai, okay desu. Let it be done. She's not singing. She's not rejoicing. Oh, I'm the mother of God. Wow. No, none of that. No Christmas song there. Right? But it's the angel, it's the messenger. What is she going to do? Say no? She surrenders. And I love the song that we sung today. I think it's I Surrender, or what's the name of that song that we sung?
Make room.
That's right, make room. And the whole song is, God, I don't understand what's happening, and I don't know what you're doing, but I surrender, right? Yeah. I have doubts, I have burdens, and I have crowns. I surrender them at the foot of the cross. I surrender. That's what she's doing. And sometimes that's okay for us. Look, you don't know what God is doing. You don't know why he's doing it. But you have to just say, okay, I'm going to do what I know is the right thing. I'm going to keep this baby. And I don't know what you're doing, God, and it doesn't feel happy. I don't have this great joy, but let your will be done. That's what Mary says in verse 38. Now, it's not there, but it needs to be in the back of your mind. So what does the angel do? This is very, very kind. The angel knows. You have your doubts, Mary. You have your anticipation. You don't feel 100%. I understand. So here's what the angel says. She says, your relative, your cousin, Elizabeth, she's pregnant too. Translation? Go talk to her. This thing is in my way, sorry. I have a face shield this week, so you're safe. And the communion is safe too. So the angel tells Mary, your cousin, about 130 kilometers away, she's pregnant. And then he leaves, right? What he's telling to Mary is, you can go and see her, talk to her, see what she says. So Mary, okay, well, let me see if I can hear. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea. So from Nazareth to basically Hebron, this is basically the distance between Hiroshima to Okayama. Okay? 130 kilometers. Maybe she walked. Maybe she rode on a camel or a donkey. She joined a camel. I don't know. But she's young, and she went. It's a long way to go. She goes to this place, and what happens? She sees her relative, maybe her cousin, probably her cousin, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, her cousin, was about, tradition tells us, about 6 months pregnant, okay? And so Mary goes, and what does it say? She entered Zechariah's home, greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, verse 41, the baby leapt in her womb. This amazing thing happens where Jesus' cousin, John, is inside the womb of Mary's relative, Elizabeth, and he hears the voice of the mother of God, and is kicking. Not kicking, leaping, you know? And Elizabeth says this very interesting word. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favored? And here it is, verse 43. That the mother of my Lord should come to me. That is an interesting expression. Here, please picture 13, 14, 15-year-old Mary, junior high girl, peasant, absolutely poor. How poor? When Joseph and Mary go to give Jesus to the priest to kind of bless him and dedicate him, they have to give a sacrifice. They give two birds, a pigeon, two pigeons. Now, if you're rich, you have to give this animal. If you're middle class, you have to give this animal. If you're poor, you just give a couple of birds because you're so poor. That's all you can afford. That's what Mary and Joseph give. She is this poor. She is a nobody. Not only that, but please imagine, she's not married, but she's pregnant. Okay? She's going to have this baby. It means, in her society, in her village, in her community, she's done. She's outcast. Eh? 結婚してないのに? 妊娠した? You're not married, but you're... What? She knows this. She knows this. She is a nobody, and she's going to be more of a nobody. But Elizabeth says, you are the mother of the Lord. She gives this nobody the greatest honor she could give. You're the mother of my Lord. So this woman, understands, she's filled with the Holy Spirit. You see there in verse 41? Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gets filled with the Holy Spirit. She has this amazing insight. She knows Mary is no one, but she is elevated to this wonderful status and position. Now, we're Protestants, and we are not comfortable, like Catholics or even Eastern Orthodox, that call Mary the Mother of God. But that's something we have to get comfortable with, because that's what the Bible calls her. Yeah. Okay? But here's something more interesting. Look at the mystery here. This, I hope this will feed you somehow. Mary says in verse 43, the mother of my Lord should come. And in verse 45, blessed is she who has fulfilled, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise to her. Mary. Elizabeth. You said inside Mary's womb is the Lord, right? But in verse 45, you said it's the Lord who promised her this. So who's the Lord? Is the one inside you the Lord? Or is the one who made the promise the Lord? The answer? Yes. The Lord means God. Elizabeth is showing something amazing to Mary. Mary, inside you is God. And God is the one who promised to give you this child. What is she saying? Is God the Father God? Is God the Son God? Yes. This is what we call high Trinitarian theology. Okay? God, the Holy Spirit, fills Mary. Excuse me, Elizabeth. Okay, verse 41. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she says, God the Father has placed God the Son in you. Right? So God the Son will fulfill the promise of God the Father as Elizabeth is filled with God the Spirit. This is the Trinity. That God is three persons with one being, one essence. Now, Pastor Chris, really? The Trinity? Are you preaching this? This is what the Bible is showing us right here. Mary is filled with the Holy Spirit. God has promised the Savior, and the Lord is in the womb. I don't need to preach it. The Bible is teaching it. Now, I was having a conversation with a coworker a few months ago. We were talking about God, religion, the Bible, Christianity. And he says this. He said, he's told me two things. I'll just give you the one he had a big problem with. He said, yeah, I know, you know, this Christianity, I studied it growing up, but it doesn't make sense 100%. I can't completely understand it, so I can't fully commit to it. Now, that makes sense. I understand that. But my only answer was simple. If you could understand God completely, he would not be God. Right? And a God that you can totally understand is probably not a God you want to follow or give your life to. Yeah. There's mystery that you have to surrender to. And Mary was willing to do that. But Elizabeth did something amazing with this. Now, that's not the whole point of this sermon. I think that's just a wonderful thing. But we're getting to the song. We're coming closer to how this song came. Now remember, at first Mary is like, I guess, may it be to me as you have said. I'm the Lord's servant. I'll go with this. I'll surrender. I have my doubts. Okay, Mary, go to your relative Elizabeth. Elizabeth says this amazing thing about Mary. Okay. You're this humble girl, but God has elevated you to high status. And Elizabeth said this amazing thing about Jesus. He is God. And so Mary is listening to this. She has maybe walked or traveled 130 kilometers. She's thinking about the angel's message the whole way. And she's, how does this connect? How does this work? And she listens to Elizabeth and natokushita. Wakatta. She understands. She gets it. And that's where the song comes from. Now, what does she understand? The pieces of the puzzle finally fit. God is moving to save the world, and he's working through me. That's the whole point of this little story between Mary and Elizabeth. How do we know this? Because look, it says this whole, So in verse 45, Elizabeth is talking. And Elizabeth is saying, you're blessed. This is amazing. And not only that, when my son, they don't have ultra scans, so she didn't know it was a boy yet, but it was prophesied. When my baby heard your voice, he was going crazy. This is special, Mary. And so Mary is listening, and she's like, wait a minute, the angel was talking about this, and now my relative whom I love, she's talking about this, and the pieces are coming together. And then, the song. Joy. Release. What kind of release? My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in my God. Do you see what happened? She got it. Some of us, that's how we become Christians. At first, there's a voice of God in the back of our mind. And that voice is growing and getting stronger. We have our doubts and we have our burdens and we don't know all the answers, but it's growing stronger and stronger. And then we talk to somebody. We meet someone and they explain it to us. And now the pieces are coming together and there's a moment, we don't know when, we don't know how, but maybe there's this point. Now, listen, I know that many Christians, they want to talk about the moment. This is when God saved me and it was a miraculous and powerful story. This is my testimony, right? That's not for everybody, okay? Some Christians, they come to Christ step by step. Which is the right way? Both. Look, two people. They go from Hiroshima to Tokyo. They get on the Shinkansen. The one person gets on the Shinkansen at daytime. And he's awake the whole time. So he's going to Tokyo and he comes out of the tunnel and he sees a big sign, welcome to Tokyo. And he sees the big sign and it's he knows he has gone from Chiba into Tokyo. Another person, he goes at night. He's very tired. He gets on the Shinkansen and he's sleeping the whole way. Right? He doesn't wake up until there's the sound. What's the sound? There's the music. There's a da-da-da-da. I don't know. Some music plays. And he wakes up. Oh, I'm in Tokyo. Mo, hi. Right? Both went to Tokyo. One understands the moment he arrived. The other one, he just wakes up and he's there. There's some of us in this room. When we come to Jesus Christ, it's been a long journey. And now we understand, oh, I'm in God's family. Oh, God has taken me. And I believe this message. And this message is changing me. I'm not who I once was now. I'm a different person. And you realize that somewhere. Okay, so now I want to get into the song. And we're not going to go through the whole song, just a little bit. Just two things I want to see. Oh, by the way, I just want to say something real quick. Please. The way we know God is through each other. Okay? That's how we know God. Church, fellowship, community, family. That's how we know God. Okay? That's how we do it. I know God will speak to individuals through the Bible, through dreams. Wonderful. That's not the norm. That's the exception. Three friends, Jack, Ronald, and Charles. Great friends. They met every night. They worked together. After work, they would go to the bar and they'd drink together. They'd have wonderful conversations. Christians, okay? One day, Charles dies. And so Jack thinks, well, okay, now I have more of Ronald. One is gone, so one is left for me to know more of. He's more mine. The exact opposite happened. Here's what he said. When our friend Charles died, a part of my friend Ronald died too. Because when Charles was alive, there was a part of Ronald that Charles could bring out. I know Ronald in a special way through Charles, right? Does that make sense? Right? Some people, you know them, but when they're in a different situation or they're with a different person, a different part of them comes out. Yeah? Yeah? That's how people are. That's our personality. We are so rich in personality and character, and we're so deep in humanity that different situations, different people bring out different aspects of our character. How about God? How about God's personality? How about God's character? How do you know Him? Well, you know Him directly through the Word, but when you meet people who love God, when you worship together in different ways and they speak about God, and when you hear testimonies, you experience God. You encounter Jesus in a way you never would have without meeting that person. Amen? A Christian who is by himself, a lone Christian, is weak. Is pathetic, is sad. And I'm not saying, you know, we should have more people in church and, oh, maybe you're thinking, ah, I wish somebody was here to hear that. No, you need to hear it. And I love today. We had testimonies from Japan. We had a person from the Philippines, from Pakistan, a person from Kenya. Who else? Is that it? Yeah. Huh? Did you speak? No, I'm sorry, friend. You were talking. My bad. Five different countries, five different cultures sharing about their experience of God. Hey, man. Today was a good day at church for me, okay? When we had different cultures sharing their testimony. So, that's one thing. The second thing is with community. You need someone to confirm what God is saying to you. So here's Mary. God speaks to her through the angel. Not a human, an angel, okay? And she's like, what do I do with this? Okay, I'll go with it. But it wasn't until she spoke to another person that confirmed what she was experiencing from God. Okay? You think, okay, God is telling me something, maybe to sing or to serve or to do something. I don't know. If God is telling you to do something, that's great, but you need to wait until someone who loves you, someone who cares for you, someone who knows Jesus and prays for you, you need to wait until they can confirm what God is saying to you, you think. Here's what you do. God is telling me to do something. God is telling me to give or to serve. Okay, this is what you do. You do it quietly. You do it behind the scenes. You do it almost secretly. And you just help and you give as quietly as you can. And then someone who loves the Lord, who's filled with the Spirit, says, ah, you're doing a good job. You need to do this more. You need to keep going with this. And they will confirm. This is called confirmation. Okay? And this is how the community, this is how the family, this is how the people of God work. Because God did not save us to be by ourselves. Listen, if God is to be your father, the church must be your mother. That's how it works. That's how important this church is. Okay, so we'll close with the song, okay? And just one point from the song. We'll just start with verse 46 and 7, and we'll close with that. We'll go with next week. She says, my soul, my spirit. Now, I thought, oh, wow, this is deep. She says, soul, and then spirit, right? Two words, suke and pneuma. It must be something different. No, it's not. She's saying the same thing two ways. This is just beautiful language. This is called parallelism, okay? She's saying one thing with two different expressions. 別の表現, 別の単語で一つの意味. Which is this. My soul and my spirit, that just means my core. We would say my heart. My inmost basic essence is rejoicing in God. What does that mean? It means this is not something that's added to her life to make her a little bit better and happy. It's not about happiness. This is about joy. Rejoice. So, it's not like this. Okay, I didn't bring it. You know, many of you know, I sit there during testimonies and I'm always looking down and I have my hands fiddling with something. You know it's me with my origami, okay? My confession. All right? I'm listening to all the testimonies, but I'm just folding paper because I have a hobby. It's an interest. I enjoy folding paper and making something beautiful out of paper. I've added it to my life. It's giving me more joy and happiness. I make something beautiful. In fact, I'll stay up until 12, 1 o'clock at night, and I'm folding paper. That's how much I enjoy origami. That's how much origami has blessed my life, okay? I enjoy it. It's fun. It's beautiful. I give them to my children. They play with it. Wonderful. That's I took up origami, and it's made my life a little bit nicer. You don't do that with Jesus. You don't take up Jesus and become a better person. It's not how it works. You don't do Christianity and become a better version of yourself. You don't live your best life. That's not how it works. You don't take up Christianity. Jesus takes you up. Jesus takes you into his family. You are taken into the people of God. You are taken up into God's place. And it transforms you. How do you know? Because your inmost base essence of being rejoices. It overflows. We sing it. River of life. Deep calls to deep. That's what it is. You know in your heart of hearts that it's not me being better. It's God forgiving me of my sin, removing my shame, covering my embarrassment, and saying, no, you're mine. I accept you. I know how bad you are. I know how evil you can be, but I have done something to wash and purify your evil. And I am giving you a whole different way to live. Not a better way, a completely different way. Oh God, break down the walls of my religion. That's what we sang. Break down all my tradition. That is why she says, my soul, my spirit magnifies, rejoices in the Lord. So where are you with Jesus? Where are you with God? Where are you with the gospel? Where are you? Where are you? Now, are you taking up religion? Are you adding Christianity to your life? Or has God taken you out of the darkness and into the light? What's he done? Has God taken you from that kingdom into the kingdom of the Son he loves? Have you been taken up by God? If so, join us. Be part of us in rejoicing in God, magnifying the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if you believe, if you love Jesus, and if you want to do something about it, the best day. I love today. We're going to take communion together. So, Communion Sunday. We have the bread. I have the tongs.